James chapter 1. James chapter 1. I've entitled this message, Pure Religion. Pure Religion. Let's read verses 26 and 27 together. You'll notice in the reading of these two verses, the word religious or religion is used three times. And let me say this by way of introduction before we read this passage of Scripture. The word religion refers to the external aspect of worship. What can be seen on the outside, you see, what has been done on the inside will come out on the outside. And if something has not been done on the inside, that will be seen on the outside also. Now that's what this word is all about. It has to do with the externals of religion, that which can be seen, that which can be verified. Now let's read this passage of Scripture together and keep that in mind as we consider just what pure religion is. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is what? Vain. Vain. Void of results. It's not saving. Now that's a powerful statement, isn't it? If a man appears to be religious, appears to be devoted, appears to be a Christian, and bridles not his tongue, he deceives himself. And his religion is vain. Verse 27, pure religion. There is such a thing as pure religion. And the fact that there are counterfeits tells us that there is the real thing. Pure religion. I'm interested in this, aren't you? Pure religion. And undefiled, uncontaminated is the word, before God and the Father is this: to visit the Father and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Nobody can see what's in my heart. You know, that's true. And I'm glad you can't see what's in my heart. And I'll be honest with you, I don't want to see what's in your heart either. But the words that come out of our mouth reveal something about what's in the heart. Our Lord said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What is in my heart? What is in your heart is going to be seen in the words. And verse 26 of our text, James tells us, if any man, I don't care what kind of profession he makes, if any man among you seem to be religious. And you know, that word is actually thinks himself to be religious. Thinks himself to be a Christian. a religious, God-fearing man. He genuinely believes himself to be that. If any man among you thinks himself to be religious and bridles not his tongue. Now, how many people right now are looking back to times where something got out that you wished it didn't? Sure, you got plenty of those times, but I got more than you. Bet you I do. I say to my own shame. What's he mean when he says, if a man appears to be religious and bridles not his tongue? Well, it has something to do with this. If a man appears to be religious and yet he boasts of his own works, he speaks highly of himself and boasts of his own works. He murmurs and complains at God's providence. He believes himself to deserve better than what's coming his way. He complains at God's providence. Why did God allow this? Why did this happen? And he speaks ill of and judgmentally of and with a harsh, self-righteous attitude toward others. He looks down his nose at others. If a man appears to be religious and he bridles not his tongue, he boasts of his own works, he murmurs at God's providence, and he looks down his nose at others. What's James say? Well, he deceives himself. He deceives himself. You know, it's so very easy to be deceived by yourself. Have you ever told yourself a lie and got yourself to believe it? You ever done that? I have. I've told myself a lie and became convinced it was the truth. It's easy to deceive yourself. As a matter of fact, it's easier to deceive yourself than it is somebody else. It really is. Listen to this scripture. Galatians chapter 6, verse 3. If any man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Listen to this. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. If we say we have no sin, what's next? We deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. We've lost all credibility. Don't listen to anything that man says who says he has no sin. Right now, while I'm talking to you. Self-deception only could make us arrive at that conclusion. Not only is this man deceived, his religion is vain. It will not save. It is void of power. Void of results. If that's what my religion is about, that doesn't cause me to bridle my tongue in the sense that I'm talking about, and I think you'll understand this more as we go on, my religion is vain. It is to no purpose. It is not saving. Now, how does this come about? How does this fellow reach this condition of self-deception where he's deceived himself? He thinks himself to be religious. He thinks himself to be a God-fearing man. He thinks himself to be a religious person. How did he get in this mess? Well, let's look in the context of this passage of Scripture. Look with me in verse 19 of James chapter 1. Verse 19 of James chapter 1. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to what? Hear. Slow to speak. And pop off. Here's what I think. Here's my interpretation. Watch out. Slow to wrath. becoming angry with what God says. A response of irritation. I don't like that. Watch out. Let every man be swift to hear. Faith cometh by what? Hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Oh, may God... It takes a lot more grace to hear than it does to preach. May God give me grace to be a hearer of His Word. Speak, Lord, Thy servant heareth. Swift to hear, slow to pop off. Slow to anger. Verse 20, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. When we get angry, all we do is hurt ourselves. Wherefore, verse 21, lay apart, lay aside all filthiness and superfluity or excess of naughtiness. And receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Now, I want to receive this word that's able to save my soul, don't you? He then gives a warning, verse 22. And here's where this self-deception comes in. So please listen very carefully. But be ye what? Doers of the word. Not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now here's the self-deception, isn't it? If I'm just a hearer only, and not a doer of the word, this passage of Scripture says that I deceive myself. Verse 23. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, here's what he is. He is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. Now this mirror that's being spoken of is what? The Word of God. Now here is the one mirror that absolutely, positively does not lie. You want to know what you really look like? Take a look in this mirror. Can you look in the Word of God? Now tell me. Can you look in the Word of God and feel good about yourself? Can you look in the Word of God and feel good about the way you look? As you look in this perfect mirror that tells the truth regarding yourself, what does the Word of God tell you about yourself? You've already read it. What's it tell me? I'm so thankful you read that passage of Scripture. I thought that's the perfect passage of Scripture to read with this message. What's the Word of God tell me about myself? I am a sinner. I am a sinner. What's a sinner? A sinner is somebody who all they do is sin. Now, would that be an accurate description of you? That's it. That's it. Now, a hearer of the word only and not a doer of the word. He takes a look at himself in this mirror. And he sees what he looks like. But what's he do? Verse 24. Verse 23, he's beholding his natural face. That's the natural man, isn't it? What I am by nature, my natural face. What is me? The I. He beholds what manner of man he is as he looks in that glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way. Not Christ's way. Not the way of the gospel. He goes his way, and straightway, immediately, he forgetteth what manner of man he was. You know what that means? He forgets that he's a sinner. He forgets that he's a sinner. Therefore, he doesn't bridle his tongue. He boasts of his own works. He forgets their evil. He commends himself with it. He forgets. He forgets that he's a sinner, therefore he finds fault with God's providence. I had better coming to me than this. This is not right. I can't believe this is happening to me. Why me? Why didn't it happen to so-and-so? I'm better than they are. He looks down his nose at others and speaks harshly and critically of others. They haven't reached my state of righteousness. If everybody was like me, this world would be a better place. Why does he speak this way? Why doesn't he bridle his tongue? He forgot. He's a sinner. Do you know the only way you can hear the gospel is as a sinner? The only way you can hear the gospel with profit to your soul is when you hear you are a sinner. You know, it's easy to trust Christ for righteousness when you don't have any of it. It's simple. It gets complicated when we start thinking we're something. But what's the Scripture say? If a man thinketh himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives. Now this man that is a hearer only, he takes a look and he sees something of that ugliness. But he goes his way, not God's way, his way. And immediately he forgets what manner of man he was. And he starts popping off. He doesn't bridle his tongue. How much does the Scripture have to say about bridling your tongue? Read Proverbs. What's a fool known by? A multitude of words. And the Scripture in the Proverbs even actually says a fool is counted as a wise man if he learns to keep his mouth shut. I love that proverb. I wish I'd learned something about it. Verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and what? Continueth. It's hard to forget what you look like when you keep looking in that mirror. And I love what this mirror is called, the perfect law of liberty. And this is so wonderful. Do you know, and you've already said it, Pastor, there's nothing as liberating, there's nothing as freeing as seeing your sinner. It's the most liberating thing. You trust Christ then. You rest in His righteousness then. And you can't until you're liberated to see that you're nothing but sin. Have you ever been given that liberty? A sinner is a sacred thing. The Holy Ghost hath made him. So what a blessing to see you're nothing but sin. Somebody says, that's the worst thing you can see. No, it's the best. What's this fella do? He looks into that mirror and he what? Continues looking. And you continue looking. Oh, you'll continue seeing your need of Christ. You'll see His sufficiency. You won't forget. Now this man, according to verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This man and only this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now that other fellow will talk big. You know, I used to be intimidated by religious folks, all the things they had to say. I don't pay any attention to it anymore. It's just talk. He may talk big, but it's this other fellow who's blessed in the doing of the work. Now, verse 26. Now we see where this deception comes from. If any man among you seem to be religious, he thinks himself to be religious, and he bridles not his tongue. He boasts of his own works. You know, if you say you're a sinner, can you boast of your own works? I'm talking about anything you've done. You proud of it? You feel like it could stand before God in judgment? Would you want even the best thought that's ever come out of your mind to stand before God in judgment? I mean the best. I'm not talking about the worst. I'm talking about the best. The best gift you've ever given. The best. You want that to stand before God in judgment? I know I'll go straight to hell for it. I believe that. I'm not going to behold by His grace and only by His grace. I ain't going to be boasting about my works. I'm ashamed of them. murmuring at God's providence. Oh, everything He sends my way is just exactly what I need. And you want to talk about what I deserve? Oh my. I deserve to be cut off eternally. Anything short of hell is mercy and grace. And look down on somebody? Paul the Apostle would look at everybody in this room and say from the depths of his heart, I'm worse than you. If any man among you seems to be religious and bridles not his tongue but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain, pure religion. Now he's going to talk about pure religion. We see vain religion. Now let's talk some about pure religion. Undefiled, unlike the fellow in verse 26. Pure religion, that means unmixed. If something's pure, that means it doesn't have mixtures. It's not part one thing and part the other. It's 100%. Pure religion. And undefiled before the Father. Now, for something to be undefiled before the Father, it's got to be undefiled, doesn't it? I mean flat, undefiled, uncontaminated, pure religion, undefiled before the holy God of glory, is this. And James gives us two marks of pure religion. And these two marks can be said to be the summary of all pure religion. Right here, James summarizes in a real neat package, just so simple. Here's the summary of pure religion. It's undefiled before God the Father. He names two things. First, he says to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. And secondly, this person keeps himself. He keeps himself unspotted from the world. Now remember, the word religion means that which can be seen. That which can be verified. It has to do with the externals of worship. And this is what can be seen. To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. First, pure religion before God is seen by Him in our works. What we do. What we do is what proves what we really believe. Amen? Is that so? What we do is what proves what we really believe. Everything else is just talk. James mentions the work of visiting the widows and the orphans in their affliction, demonstrating a true love for these people. People that can't pay you back. Having a compassion toward these people, a love for these people. It's charity, compassion. And this is a great principle from the Scripture. It's not just talking about, really, what this represents, a great principle. It's talking about works of love. I repeat, what we do is what demonstrates what we really believe. Everything else is just talk. Let me give you a couple of examples of that. If I refuse to show somebody mercy, what's that mean? What's it mean? It means I don't know a thing about mercy, doesn't it? It means I've never experienced the mercy of God in Christ Jesus. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. What if I refuse to forgive somebody? What's that say about me? It can be verified. It means I've never been forgiven. It means I don't know anything about the free forgiveness of God in Christ Jesus. It means I know nothing about it. If we don't love much, what's that mean? It means we don't believe we've been forgiven very much. That's what our Lord tells us, isn't it? Now, when the Lord gives the parable of Judgment Day and tells the sheep to come into His kingdom, remember what He said to them? He said, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit. Not something you've earned. inherit the kingdom prepared for you from when? Way back before the foundation of the world. This didn't have anything to do with your works. It was prepared for you before the foundation of the world. The salvation completely accomplished outside of your personal subjective experience. When were you saved? Well, there's a very real sense of when I was saved when Christ said, I'll be his surety. That's when. When he agreed to be my surety, my salvation was certain. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me to drink. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick and in prison, and you visited me. He talked about what they did. What they did proved what he did for them. Now, they didn't know anything about it. They said, Lord, when did we do this? We didn't know that. And if you're hearing this and start thinking about, well, boy, I'm in pretty good shape then. I can think I did this. I must be pretty. You missed it. You missed it. You plumbed it. I'm sure. If you have any understanding at all, you're not going to come up with one thing that you think's worth even mentioning. Not one. Not one. But what's the Lord say? He said, inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. And that other bunch, the goats, he said, you go into the fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was sick and you didn't visit me. I was hungry. You didn't feed me. I was thirsty. You didn't give me anything to drink. I was naked in prison. You didn't. We thought we did. When didn't we do it? Why, they thought they had all kinds, many wonderful works. But what was the evidence that our Lord gives? Let me ask you this. What's the first thing the Lord said to the seven churches in Revelation? I know thy works. Pure religion can be verified, can be seen by visiting the fatherless and widows in their affliction. Now, the second mark of pure religion in our text: first, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and second, to keep himself. To keep himself. What is the one external evidence that God is keeping you? There's only one. You keep yourself. And if you ain't keeping yourself, you can bet he ain't keeping you. God said, I will. You shall. And if you don't, I never did. Keep himself. Keep himself unspotted from the world. Now, what is meant by the world, I can tell you. The same world that John said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The world that James said, if any man be a friend of the world, he is a what? What? An enemy of God. The world that hates Christ. The Lord said to the crowd in John 7, the world can't hate me, but it can't hate you, but it hateth me, because I testify of it. I tell the truth regarding it, that the deeds thereof are evil. This is that same world that Christ refused to pray for. He said in John 17, verse 9, I pray not for the world, but for them which you've given me, for they are thine. Now, what do you think of when you think of worldliness? I know what you think. You think the same thing I think. When you think of worldliness, you think of materialism. You think of ambition. You think of sinful pleasure. You think of keeping up with the Joneses. Things of that worldly thinking. Well, that's part of it, no doubt. It's what the Lord called the cares of this world. You remember what the cares of this world did to the thorn choked here? They choked. Now, this fellow never left the church, this thorn choked here. That stony ground fella, he was gone. He was a flash of light, and he's gone. The thorn choked here, he's still sitting there, choked. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things entering in, choked the word. And he brings forth no fruit to perfection. But it's a whole lot more than that. You know, there's a false peace this world gives. You remember what our Lord said, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you." You see, there's something called the religion of this world. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me show you this. Now, we know about this materialism, and oh, may God enable me to say with old John Newton, content with beholding His face, my all to His pleasure resign. No changes of season or place will make any change in my mind. When blessed with a sense of His love, a palace, a toy would appear. And prisons would palaces prove if Jesus would dwell with me there. We believe that, don't we? I enter into that. But look here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Now we have received, 1 Corinthians 2:12, but now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are what? Freely given. There's the Spirit of God. The spirit of the world doesn't know anything about this. But the Spirit of God tells us that which is free. You know what the word freely means? Without a cause. God doesn't look for a reason in me to give me grace. God doesn't look for a reason in me to have mercy on me. He doesn't have mercy on me because I'm sorry. He doesn't have mercy on me because I promise I'll never... He does it. Show you another scripture. Turn to Colossians 2. Verse 8. Beware. Colossians 2, verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments, the principles, the ABCs, the elements, the building blocks of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete. You are not lacking a thing in Him. Look in verse 18 of Colossians 2. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and in worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he have not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to man-made rules? Touch not, taste not, and handle not, which all are to perish with the using. If that's your religion, you're going to perish. That's what that scripture says. After the commandments of men and doctrines of men. The world the believer keeps himself unspotted is that which is opposed to God. Whether it's human religion, human maxims, human values, that which is opposed to God. Controlled by the god of this world, the prince of this world, Satan. Something to do with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, being concerned about what other folks see, and the pride of life. Self-righteousness. Now, the external evidence of having pure religion is keeping oneself unspotted. And what a work that is, to be unspotted from the world. Didn't Paul say, be not conformed to this world, but you be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, this external evidence that God is preserving on the inside is that a man keeps himself. Keep yourselves in the love of God, Jude said. Paul said to Timothy, keep yourself pure, keep yourself unmixed. We're told to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In Revelation 16, verse 15, Christ said, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he appear naked to his shame. I want to keep my garments on. What's my garment? The perfect righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I never want to stand before God based on anything else. I keep myself. Now, keeping yourself unspotted, uncontaminated from the world. That's what the word means. Unblemished, uncontaminated by the world. Now, how in the world do you do that? I mean, because every one of us, when we think of the world, we think in some respects about materialism and things we want and so on. And how in the world do I keep myself unspotted from the world that he's speaking of? How do you go about that? Well, to keep yourself unspotted by the world is to stay pure. What do you mean by that? Well, let me tell you. I want to hear nothing but the pure Word of God. I don't want to hear man's opinions about anything. I really don't. I want to know what God says. And I'm not interested in anything else. Pure Christ. Salvation is 100% by Christ and Christ alone. I'm not mixing anything with it. I'm not mixing linen and wool together, as you're forbidden to do in Deuteronomy. Pure Christ. Salvation. Christ is all. Christ is all in my salvation. Christ is all the Bible has to say. Does anybody here really believe that? Christ is all the Bible really has to say. Christ is all in my salvation. Listen to this. Christ is all that God requires. Pure Christ. All Christ. Christ is not the minimum He requires. He's everything God requires. Nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. Pure Christ. Pure faith. Not faith in works. Simply resting in Christ. How do you keep yourself unspotted? Let me close with this scripture. Turn to Galatians 6. Every believer will be able to identify with this and understand it. And if you don't understand this, well, I don't believe God's been your teacher. But a believer is going to understand this. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory, that I should have confidence in, that I should rest in, that I should look to, that I should find comfort in. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The only thing that I glory in, the only thing that I have any confidence in, is who He is and what He did. Period. Period. Now look at the effect this had on Paul. By whom? The world is crucified to me. In light of the glory of the cross of Christ, this world that people find so attractive, I see to be a dead, crucified thing. Now, if you've ever seen the glory of the cross, the glory of Him, I think it's neat the way it said. He talked about the cross of Christ. He didn't say by which the world is crucified to me. He said by whom the world is crucified unto me. Now, if I see that, if I glory in the cross, I will see this world that people are so impressed with. I'm not impressed. Lord knows whether I'm telling the truth. It's one thing to say it. It's another thing to really believe it. Lord knows whether I'm telling the truth. I see this world as a crucified thing. But something always happens to those folks who see the world as a crucified thing. The world sees them as a crucified thing too. Why, you're worthless. You got problems. We'd be better off without you. True. That's true. Pure religion. Undefiled. Uncontaminated before God and the Father is this. Seen in our works. Seen in what we do. To visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. And it's seen in keeping yourself unspotted from the world by glorying in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ.